you sold 10 sets last night?
Yes, Karuj. We had, I think it was 8 or 9.
Uh-huh. That was good, considering that we didn't mention it or anything.
It was very crowded. I hoped to do more. There were so many people. But it was very crowded, and then once the crowds went down, everyone was in the temple room.
Mm-hmm.
So now we had some interest.
Well, tonight I'll mention it.
Yeah.
Is tonight, I'm supposed to talk about it tonight?
Tonight is with the congregation. So, yeah, the theme is...
That is the theme?
Yeah.
Okay. I spoke about the mountains and I'll talk a little about the trees.
Mm.
Trees and the...
Reminds me of Venu Gita.
Flowers. Huh?
Reminds me of Venu Gita in places you talk about.
That's because they're talking about those things there, yeah.
Yeah.
One after the other. Well, I think probably the first couple hundred sets will be easy. After the ones after that will be a little more difficult. And people just have to know that, because it's not, it's hard to say what a price is, because it's not finished, not laid until we actually lay it out and give the whole thing to the printer.
Mm.
He can't give a final price on how much it costs.
Yeah.
That's the only time when you can really, really say. It should, anyway, that's what you're saying, sort of 300 is, I think, sort of a reasonable ceiling.
Mm. Yeah, it makes it a little more difficult. With disciples, it was more reasonable because they kind of have more of a commitment. But with non-disciples, it becomes difficult, because when you have that uncertainty, when the book's not there in front of them, it's a little more difficult to persuade them.
It is. So it's not an easy chore.
It's been nice.
But
And at the same time, I was trying to... I mean, I was talking to Jai Guru, for example, and telling him that it would be a good investment. He's a businessman, I suppose, in one sense.
Who?
Acharya Prabhu at the shop. So I was suggesting that he buys in a slightly larger quantity, because I'm sure that people afterwards will really want...
Well, it's like Venu Gita. Were you the one who sold one for £80?
Yes. Yeah.
And then Vashna told me that they're selling it for £100 on...
Someone on Amazon is now.
On Amazon. Which, you know, so that when it originally came out at, like, I don't know, that was a long time ago, at like £15 or £20, and people were concerned. But we're just publishing it again now. We'll get the funds together for it.
Mm.
But, that was, I don't know, hundreds of people asked for Venu Gita.
I remember when I was trying to get my own copy, it was very, very...
I don't have a copy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have a copy. It's one book I don't have a copy of. In fact, I think I even gave my Napari Hum away to someone.
I have a copy of Napari Hum, Gurumaj, which I could maybe give to Chambia, I approve for you.
No, it's all right. You should keep it. And I don't read it. I don't read it.
As in, I've got a copy which we've been selling on the book table. I have my own personal one, but aside from that, we have a copy.
Better sell it. That's why that's what I did with mine as well. Want to ask anything?
I thought I told you, Maharaj, my services are changing a little. Obviously, over the past year, for some years I've been doing Sankirtan. I'm still doing Sankirtan, but I'm doing more Pujari service as well, which is nice. So it means early starts, back up, waking the deities, offering arati.
Is Jiva Pati at the temple? I didn't see him.
Yes, he used to do 6 or 7 days a week. Pujari service.
Well, he's there, because I didn't see him at all.
He is there, yeah, but he's in his room most of the time. He has a walk for a couple of hours every day, but apart from that, he's generally in his room.
Uh-huh.
He only comes down when he has service, generally speaking.
Mm.
But, yeah, he's still going strong. He's doing 3 days a week now.
Mm-hmm.
Pujari service from 2 a.m. to 8. So I'm learning off him at the moment, as well as a couple of other devotees. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, Gurmaj, if you have any, how I can serve the deities nicely.
Well, Prabhupada emphasized two things, cleanliness and punctuality. This is like the basis. And then if you live in the same way that the deities live on the altar, that's sort of my pet peeve. That anyway, we talked about it when we were in Mumbai also, is when I watch how, if I see with devotees' homes are like, and what their personal living standards like, and I know how much they're actually pujaris or not. If it's just something they do on the altar, but they don't do elsewhere, then actually I know that consciousness isn't what it's supposed to be on the altar either. In other words, they're not really clean, and they won't maintain real standards of cleanliness or punctuality. It's just because they don't really practice it. It's just something that they do in the temple or on the altar, and that's unfortunate. So it means that they're not really Brahmins. I think that's what we talked about: being Brahminical and being a Brahmin.
Yes.
And then there's some people who aren't even Brahminical. Don't even really live. Brahminical means that, someone lives by at least some Brahminical standards. Mm. And then someone's not even Brahminical, they don't even bother. They just come in and sort of do things. And then that shows the real thing is that deity worship should really be done by Brahminical people whose homes look just like the altar and the deity room, and that's what their standard of life is like, sattvic. Mm. And then if you're sattvic, then things happen. And that's what the devotee should learn. Because that's what the spiritual world is like. It's not messy. So, Prabhupada, quoted this, cleanliness is next to godliness, which is not really something found in Bhagavad Gita. But it's just such a understood, common thing. And yet devotees aren't necessarily trained in it. Which I find is a real shame. They train them, what to do on the altar, but not really trained in, it's like when we have brahmacharya training or educational training. The educational training doesn't necessarily teach them how to be clean. And how to think like a Brahmin. Samo damastapaso cham shanti marjo mevacha gyana vigyanam. I mean, we emphasize the gyana. Emphasize that they should know philosophy and so on. But Brahmins are more than philosophers. And, because ultimately, how clean are you inside if you're not clean outside? But, that's the real question. How advanced is someone who lives under messy conditions?
Ask a philosophical question.
Huh?
Can I ask a philosophical question?
Okay.
I was reading a while ago about Kodama Muni, and it begins by describing him as a devotee of the Lord. He was undergoing various austerities and penances, and that was lauded in the Maitreya Muni's description to Vidura. But then when he actually has darshan of the Lord, he asks for a wife of like disposition, which I found a little surprising, first of all. But then, also, he then when they actually get married, well, when he gets married to devotee, he's performing various austerities and so on. But then when he decides to fulfill her desires, it's quite... I wouldn't use the word excessive, but the description is quite interesting. They enjoy, well, first of all, he creates an aerial mansion, and they enjoy for what's described as 100 autumns, going to various places.
And so what's the question?
So I was wondering, Maharaj, I was just wondering in terms of him being described as a devotee of the Lord, even having darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but then also at the same time having their desires and conducting the activities.
Because all types of devotees are glorified or worshipped, even they may have still some material desire, still there because they're devotees. Then what to speak of devotees, even non-devotees, for in some way or another may receive some type of respect, but all kinds of devotees should be respected, worshipped. And that's what the Bhagavatam does. So, they may not be a perfectional stage, but still, they should be given respect because they're devotees. So there's that Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, Abhakta Hincha, Krishna Bhakta. I forget. So, and he says that the devotee is always worshipable, whereas in a non-devotee is not, because he has no good qualities. So, that's also that's what's going on with Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we should always respect Vaishnavas. Whoever they may be, wherever they may be, on the path of pure devotion. Hare Krishna.